this is Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center, inviting you to join me Saturday, August 20th, 2011, for Nullify Now, Kansas City. Join us for an amazing educational seminar and our fight for liberty through nullification. Hear great guest speakers like Tom Wood, the best-selling author of Meltdown, Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, and of course, Nullification, How to Resist Federal Tyranny in the 21st Century. That's Nullify Now on Saturday, August 20th, Kansas City. For more details and to get your tickets right now, visit nullifynow.com/Kansas City.
You are listening to TRX on the 10th Amendment Center Radio Network.
But the unlikely pair of Ron Paul and Barney Frank came together to propose legislation to keep the federal government out of the issue of marijuana.
I think I like the way you worded it, because it's not taking a national control of an issue and saying all the states will do it. What we are really doing is returning it to the states and trying to treat marijuana like we treat alcohol. And maybe we wouldn't have quite so many people in prisons and, be a little bit adaptable. One thing that has strongly motivated me with the marijuana issue is I am convinced that there have been a lot of people helped medically by taking marijuana where ordinary drugs haven't. Because if a person has cancer or they're on chemotherapy, many, many people have told me they've been greatly helped. But isn't it a shame that if you have a loved one that's dying of cancer, and I've come across these cases, and I would say, I think maybe the marijuana would help him.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Tell him to go out and find it? It's so sad.
I'm in love with a man.
Radio Network. I am Phil Russo. Michael Bolden joining me from the West Coast as always. And good music choice by John Michaels there, Michael Bolden.
Yeah, pretty awesome. And that little discussion there was Judge Andrew Napolitano on his show Freedom Watch talking about the bill that Ron Paul and Barney Frank introduced that's causing some conservatives some pretty big heartache. They're thinking that, oh my God, the world's going to come to an end. They're going to legalize weed. We're going crazy. Well, Paul Armentano, our guest coming up here, gives a little bit of an explanation that this is really not what this bill is all about. He had an op-ed piece on CNN.com just recently to talk about that. And Paul, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're really glad to have you here. Go ahead, Phil.
I was going to say, Paul, let's talk about Normal just real quick. If people aren't familiar with the group, give us a quick little overview of who Normal is.
Sure. Normal is a national educational, legal, and lobbying foundation that believes that an adult should have the legal option to use marijuana in the privacy of his or her own home, whether they're using it for personal reasons or whether they want to use it for medical purposes.
Michael Bolden, we've talked a lot about this issue privately and on the radio for years now, which is crazy to say. But there's this 10th Amendment component of it. There's this constitutional component of the marijuana issue that people don't like to look at, and that is there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the government the power to regulate what you smoke or what kind of plants you grow.
Yeah, and I think that's why I was so excited to have a chance to talk with you, Paul, about this, because that's kind of what it seems you were leading into when you were writing about this in response to, I guess, what Bill Bennett was having to say with your op-ed over at CNN. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were trying to cover? What are the main talking points that you are addressing there, Paul?
Sure. Well, this bill that was introduced, it's H.R. 2306, and its official title is the Ending Federal Marijuana Prohibition Act of 2011. But what it really ought to be called should be the Let's Let States Decide How They Want to Treat Their Own Marijuana Policies, because that's essentially what this bill will do. Its language is mimicked after the way the federal government repealed alcohol prohibition. And for your listeners out there, when alcohol prohibition was repealed, the federal government did not go out and mandate that states legalize and regulate alcohol. What the federal government did was say, we are going to get out of the process of criminalizing and prosecuting those who use alcohol, and we are going to let the states set their own alcohol policies. That's why we have 50 different states that treat alcohol in 50 different ways. That's why we had dry states up until the 1960s. States like Oklahoma simply did not legalize alcohol until almost, you know, very few, until just a few decades ago. Barney Frank and Representative Paul are saying we should take the same tact with marijuana. Let's get the federal government out of the business of enforcing marijuana laws in the states, and let's let those states that wish to pursue different marijuana policies than the blanket prohibition that we have now, let's give them the option to do so. And we already know that 16 states in the District of Columbia have said, we want to have a different policy in regards to the medical use of marijuana. They've already passed laws to allow that use. So let's not let the federal government continue to interfere with these states. Let the states be the laboratories of these alternative policies.
And I live in New Jersey, Paul, where we just passed a medical marijuana law here, and the Department of Justice has been in contact with our Attorney General here, kind of making people nervous that state workers that regulate the dispensaries and the people that operate the dispensaries could be prosecuted under federal law.
Yes, indeed. And that, again, just establishes why we need to pass a federal law like H.R. 2306 so that the federal government no longer has this bully authority to interfere in states that wish to pursue regulatory policies for marijuana. And like I said, we know there are many. Colorado will be voting on this issue in 2012. There's an initiative there to regulate the adult use of marijuana for non-medical purposes. California will be voting on a similar initiative in 2012. Similar ballot initiatives have been filed in Washington, in Missouri. Massachusetts is looking at this issue. What was interesting to me about Bill Bennett's argument is that here is somebody that in general opposes government intervention, opposes this idea of the nanny state, yet he doesn't even trust lawmakers in the 50 states, and he certainly apparently doesn't trust the citizens, the voters of those 50 states, to set their own marijuana policies. In this case, he seems to believe that only the federal government has the authority and the wisdom to set marijuana policy, not the actual voters, not the lawmakers of the 50 states. And that, I certainly think, is an absurd position to hold.
How many states did you say have got medical marijuana laws right now?
There are 16 states that have laws on the books that enact limited legal statewide protections for patients who use marijuana or possess marijuana under their physician's recommendation. The District of Columbia also has a law on the books, but as you know, in a couple of those states, New Jersey being one of them, the law has never been implemented because of federal threats from federal officials. In the case of New Jersey's law, unlike the medical marijuana laws anywhere else in the country, New Jersey's law says that patients must get marijuana to be protected under the law from a state-licensed distributor of marijuana. And as you know, there are, in fact, no active state-licensed distributors of marijuana because the state and the governor is not going to go forward and allow these operations to go into effect as long as the federal government is threatening that they could turn around, come in, and shut down those same operations. But in the other 15 states, these laws are underway and patients have other options, and that's why those laws have been more effective.
Paul, this is Michael here. We hear people from all across the political spectrum on this issue because I think it's getting more out to where it's not just considered just a lefty issue here. But they tell us things that, you know, from on the one side that the federal government should have the authority to do this, but maybe they need to back off. On the other side, you get people like Bennett who say, well, you know, the federal government needs to do this. We've got to protect people. If we change things, you know, people are going to be dying in the streets if weed is being used around the country. What would you say? Do you guys take a position, like constitutionally speaking, how marijuana policy should be playing out, whether at a federal or a state level?
Well, certainly my own personal view is that politics work best when they're local. And this is an issue that I think also works best when it's localized. I'd like to see different regions of the country set their own regional policies in regards to marijuana. I grew up in New England. I'm very used to the idea that localities set their own policies regarding vice. Where I grew up, there were wet counties, there were dry counties. I got married in a county where no establishment could even sell liquor. I don't personally agree with that position, but if that reflects the overall social mores of the majority of the people that live in that area and pay taxes on that area, if that's the policy they want, then so be it. I have the freedom to move to a different region of the country that better reflects and is in line with my social mores and values. And to me, we should certainly treat marijuana the same way. If the state of California says a better policy than the 100-year policy of criminal prohibition is to allow adults the freedom to produce, use marijuana in a responsible manner, but the state of Oklahoma does not want to mandate a similar policy, then they shouldn't have to. But the state of California shouldn't be held hostage by a federal government who has an archaic and failed view on the marijuana policy and has held that view since 1937. We know that the criminalization of marijuana is never going to meet its stated objectives, because in the 70-plus years of the policy's existence, it has never once met those objectives. So why should we continue to bully all 50 states to continue to maintain a policy that's never worked since the day it was implemented?
Paul, Phil was mentioning the kind of the interplay between the federal government and New Jersey, that kind of scaring New Jersey away from implementing their law. And we've seen kind of a pattern over the last few years where the federal government's been sending letters on various issues to individual states saying you better not do blank. But I think it may be marijuana that might be happening the most. I know up in Washington State, Arizona, and then unrequested out in Rhode Island, they've been sending these letters out, and at least from my impression, they're threatening states not to move forward with certain marijuana policies. Do you know a little bit more about that? Am I on track on that, or
yes,
what do you know
you
what's going
correct.
On?
Yes, you are correct. You know, and this was really it wasn't just a step back from the pledged position of this administration. Of course, when Obama was candidate Obama, he pledged that his administration would not interfere or use federal resources to interfere with individuals compliant with their state marijuana laws. So it was really a shock to see them, A, not uphold that pledge, but B, take it a step further and actually try to interfere in the political process, to actually try and dissuade lawmakers who otherwise were ready to sign legislation into law and to persuade those lawmakers to do otherwise because of threats from the federal government. That's what they did in Washington State. That's what they did in Rhode Island. That's what they're trying to do in New Jersey. That's what they did in Arizona. They tried to do it in other states as well. They sent letters to the governor in Vermont when he had a bill to license the enactment of dispensaries in that state. Interestingly, though, the governor of Vermont simply ignored the letter and signed the bill into law anyway. The federal government sent similar letters into Maine, where this year the state of Maine began licensing dispensaries to sell marijuana. The administration in Maine simply ignored the letters, and they've since licensed, and three dispensaries in the state of Maine have opened since those letters have been sent. But you saw the results in New Jersey and in Rhode Island. Politicians got those letters, and they backed down immediately. That was the response in Washington State as well. So it's been a major disappointment, and it's really been a position that one could argue is even more reactionary than that of the previous administration. The previous administration certainly sent out a overall message that said it was not willing to accept marijuana in any way, shape, or form, but I do not recall the administration spending its political resources and clout to actually try to bully state politicians who were in the midst of enacting legislation in their state. But that's what this administration has done time and time again.
Our guest is Paul Armentano. He's the deputy director of NORML, which is an advocacy group for marijuana. Paul, can you hang on the other side of a break for us?
Sure can.
All right, Paul's going to stick around. We're going to talk a little bit about No Child Left Behind on the other side of this break. We're going to take some calls. Plenty more fun and frivolity straight ahead.
Do you feel chained down by taxation and inflation? Many of us do, but you can free yourself and your wealth from the devastating effects of taxation and inflation while increasing the control, use, and liquidity of your money. How? By implementing the infinite banking concept and learning how to become your own banker. Visit www.bankingwithlife.com. At its core, the idea is to get banking out of the control of the Federal Reserve and put it squarely at the you and me level. Not only is James Nethery an infinite banking concept educator, coach, and trainer, he is also a regular supporter of the 10th Amendment Center. Visit www.bankingwithlife.com for more information today.
The 10th Amendment Center depends on your support to bring you the best red state sovereignty website in the world. If you support our work, please donate at 10thamendmentcenter.com/donate. That's 10thamendmentcenter.com/donate.
Do you have a message, a business, a group, a foundation, an idea, or anything else that you want to get in the ears of the Tenther Movement? Contact us today about advertising opportunities right here on TRX Tenther Radio. Send an email to radio@10thamendmentcenter.com.
This is TRX on the 10th Amendment Center Radio Network. I am Phil Russo, joined as always by the great Michael Bolden and our guest Paul Armentano, Deputy Director at NORML. We're going to take a call real fast at 323-843-6008. Let's go to Susan with a question. Susan, you're up next on TRX.
Mr. Armentano, I thought your delivery was very excellent and very concise and consistent with the Constitution. But I love consistency all across the board, and I would appreciate knowing whether or not you would hold the same positions for all of the different areas in which the federal government have overstepped their boundaries, for instance, in health care, in abortion, in our state particularly suffers under a hemp regulation. We're now can be put in jail if we sell tomatoes to our neighbors. Would you be an advocate of seeing to it that the federal government was restricted back within its 18 enumerated powers in everything, not just marijuana?
Sure, I personally am a fan of a limited government. NORML, of course, however, you know, takes a very specific issue-oriented position. We just deal with the marijuana-specific issue. But hey, I live in Northern California. I have to put a retaining wall in my backyard, and I have to get a permit from my city before I can replace the wall that's on my own property. I am not a fan of big government regulation, personally, not at all.
Susan, thanks so much for calling in on TRX. We've got a question from our very own Bryce Shanka. Bryce Shanka, do you have a question as well?
Yeah, Paul. Hey, this is Bryce Shanka, as Phil just said. And I would be doing a disservice to my friends and family in Washington State if I didn't ask you for kind of a specific glimpse as to the forecast for that situation and what we can expect in the next year or so. You know, as I understand it, they had regulations ready to go that would have really kind of created a safe set of laws to handle dispensaries. But instead of doing that, they received those letters from the federal government, as you spoke about earlier, and were stopped in their tracks, including the governor. What can we expect to see in Washington State in particular?
Washington State's going to be a battleground. That governor's veto did certainly not end the issue. It's not going to be the last word. As you're probably aware, Washington State is fairly unique in that the legislature, now several years running, has had very comprehensive language introduced to regulate the production and sale of marijuana for anyone over age 21. So this is already a fairly well-vetted issue in Washington State, and there will be an initiative that the voters will decide on in November of 2012 in Washington State to address this broader issue. What the state is ultimately going to do, how they're going to deal with dispensaries, my guess is that this next session they will most likely enact legislation that gives the licensing power for dispensaries and turns it over to different locales so that the state isn't in fact licensing these operations, but if a city wishes to do so, they will have the authority to do so. And I think that's how the governor in that state is going to try and address this issue, knowing that the Obama administration has taken and will continue to take the position that they have taken.
Paul, you had a book that came out, I believe it was just about a year ago, I think July 2010. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that before I know you probably have to run here?
Sure.
What's the main overview of the book, and where can they pick it up?
The book is called Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? And it is what I would consider to be a very rational and objective look of the two most commonly consumed intoxicants in America. Of course, one of these intoxicants, alcohol, is regulated, it's taxed, it's celebrated, it's promoted. And the other intoxicant, marijuana, of course, has been demonized and its users have been criminalized in some places, like here in California, for almost 100 years. And basically the book is making the argument that objectively, why are we demonizing and stigmatizing and criminalizing these millions of Americans who choose the option to use what is arguably the objectively safer of the two intoxicants? And they can get that book either online from Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. It's in most retail bookstores. It's also available from the publisher Chelsea Green at ChelseaGreen.com. I believe there's a webpage for the book as well at MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Paul Armentano, thanks for joining us. We appreciate all the info. Good conversation. Love to have you back sometime.
Anytime. And if folks want to learn more about H.R. 2306, they can do so by going to the normal webpage, www.norml.org. And they can also go to our page to contact their own members of Congress, ask them to be co-sponsors to H.R. 2306, or to voice their support for H.R. 2306. And we really think it's important that people do so. Almost immediately after this bill was introduced, Lamar Smith, Representative Lamar Smith from Texas, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee where this bill was sent, immediately said he would use his power as chair to make sure that this bill was never heard in his committee. And whether you believe this is the right or the wrong strategy for marijuana, I think most Americans can agree that this ought to be an issue that at a minimum is debated and discussed in Congress, and we give people the tools to contact their representatives and Representative Lamar Smith and demand that this issue be heard in Congress.
Paul Armentano, thank you so much. Appreciate it. That's Paul Armentano, Deputy Director of Normal.